We begin the current Dav Masechtas Krisa Dav Zayin. Begin 9 lines down at the top of the Yamud, where the Gemara continues discussing a related halacha that was mentioned. One of the items we mentioned in the opening Mishnah of this parak of this Masecht regarding Shaloshim Vashesh, 36 creases that there are for different Isurim. One of them was of someone anoints with the anointing oil that Moshe Rabbeinu made in the Midbar, in the desert. Now, however, Bryce has said, there are exceptions to that law. If someone anoints a dead person, other things, vessels, and one of them is a non-Jew, so then he's going to be exempt. So what's the reason for that? So Gufa, we learned as follows, that the teaching was said that Tani Tanik Hamid Rebbe Lazar. There was someone who taught a Bryce in front of Rebbe Lazar that said as follows, Kol Shiyesh Nebesach, whoever is included in the category of the prohibition of anointing others. So then, Yesh Nebal Yisach, he's included in the violation of someone anoints him. Whoever is not included in the prohibition of anointing others, like a non-Jew, it's not one of the Sheva Mitzvah B'nai Nayach, so therefore he's not included in the violation of someone anoints him. So if a Jew anoints a non-Jew, he hasn't violated the Isser of anointing with the Sheva Mishkan. Now, Amalei, so Rabbi Lazar said to the teacher of the Braises, Shapa Kamrit, you said very well. Because Lo Yisach Ksiv, when it says Lo Yisach, that he should not be anointed, it says it with two yuds. So he says you take one of the yuds and you place it in the middle of the word, the kari be lo yasich, and you read it that he shouldn't anoint others, which is telling you whoever is commanded not to anoint others, meaning not for himself and not for others, but he shouldn't do the anointing, then it's commanded on others not to anoint him. And like we said, a non-Jew who is not someone that's commanded in these mitzvahs, therefore he's not included in the violation if someone anoints him. Now, continue on this topic. Regarding the prohibition of anointing with the Shemana Mishcha, Tani Rav Chananya Kameh de Rava. Rav Chananya taught the following brayse in front of Rava. He said, Minayin the Kohen Gadol, from where do we know regarding the Kohen Gadol? Shenotl mi Shemana Mishcha Sha'al Reisha. If he took where he is anointed, it's supposed to be used for the Kohen Gadol, he was anointed with the Shemana Mishcha on his head, and he takes from the oil that was poured on his head, the Nosna B'nei Meyav, and then he puts it and he anoints it, he smears it on his stomach. Minayin Shru Chayv, I don't know that he would be liable. Shnemukah says, in the Pasuk, Al Basar Adam Le'isach, on the flesh of a person shouldn't be anointed, which means to say that, although for the Shem and the Mishcha on his head is allowed, but for the flesh on his body, that's forbidden, even the Kohen Gadol. Now, however, Amalei Ravacha Bered Yerovel Ravashi says, but Maishnam Hadetanya, why is it any different from the Halacha, a similar Halacha like the following Braisa? The Braisa says, Kohen Shesach B'Shem Shal Truma, different oil, not that of the Shem and the Mishcha, Truma oil, which Truma oil is only permitted for Kahanim to utilize. So it says, if a Kohen smeared himself with the oil of Truma, so Ben Bito Yisrael Misagavai, his grandson, who his daughter married a Yisrael, so his grandson is Yisrael, could roll around on his lap, even if he's an adult, where he's going to be smearing himself with the oil that his grandfather had smeared himself with, and he doesn't have to be concerned. So obviously you see that once we already nullified in a permitted way, it's considered nullified. As a Braisa teaches explicitly in Masechtas Trumas, that the Kohen could anoint himself with the Shemen of Truma, and then he could bring his grandson, who could then sit on his lap, although the oil is there. Now the reason why we pick specifically his grandson is because that's what the common thing would be on Zaidi's lap. But it would apply with anyone. So you see that it's not a problem. So here where the Kohen Gadol already went and it was already utilized, so seemingly he should be able to use it even in a non-permitted way. Just like it is for the grandson. That Amalei said to him, no. Hasim over there, it says the passing of the Yikra, regarding the Shemen of Truma, regarding Truma, it says, Umeisu Baiki Chalaluksev. It says that he will die if he's going to utilize that of Truma, if he's not a Kain, because Yichalalu he has desecrated. Now, but one thing it tells us is, Kivin Chalalei Ho'ischal, means to say, but Truma could be desecrated. And once it is utilized, it's already deconsecrated. And therefore the grandson gets sit in there, it was already Mechul. But regarding the anointing oil, the pasuk says of Yikra, it says Kinezer, and the gear says Shemen Mishchas Elei Kav Olav, because a crown of the anointing oil of his God is on him, which we see Shemen Mishcha Kariach Mana. The Torah calls it the anointing oil, the Avagav, the Isel Lav LeYisrael, meaning even when it's on him, it's called on him a crown of anointing oil. It's not Mechul; it doesn't become deconsecrated. It retains that status, and therefore, even if it was already used on his head, he can't use it and put it on his stomach. Now, the Mishnah concluded the list of the 36 creases and qualified and says, Al Elu Chayavin. So it's regarding all these 36 that we mentioned that there's going to be a liability of Karas, which Al Zadayin Nechulu, which that's if you do it deliberately without a warning. And then if it's done by mistake, then besides the two mitzvahs, there's going to be a Chiyav of Vakar Mechatas. Now, says the Gemara Ketani, but we learned that the Mishnah concluded by saying, Chutz mimetame mikdash HaKadosh, except for someone that is tame and he eats kachim, or he's tame and he goes into the Beis HaMikdash, where that's an exception to the rules of the Mishnah. So says the Gemara, my mapik, like, what's it being excluded from? So that says the Gemara HaKadosh, this is what the Mishnah was saying, because there was an additional halacha mentioned in the Mishnah, which was says, and regarding all these halachas, if you don't know if you violate or not, then you're being Ashram Tali. And that's what the Mishnah is saying, Chutz mimetame mikdash HaKadosh, except for someone that's tame, and then he desecrates the kachim or the Beis HaMikdash, Shein mevi asham tali. There he doesn't bring what's called the suspended asham, because asham tali only comes for a doubt regarding if you knew that what you did wrong, you'd be bring a permanent karmel chatas, as the Gemara explains in the last parak later on of Chafeh and Aleph. Whereas over here, the halacha is actually, it's a karmel oil b'yarid. It's not a permanent karmel, it depends how much money a person has, and therefore, it's saying that that's an exception to the law of asham tali. So to ask the Gemara, so the Menisti Nami, then we should have mentioned another exception. Chutz mimisha avar lab yemi kippur. Another type of person that's also not going to bring Ashram Tali is if Yom Kippur already passed. Shein maybe Ashram Tali, such a person also, although he, let's say, wasn't sure if he ate Chalev, if some type of Isser, he has to bring Ashram Tali. Once Yom Kippur comes, Yom Kippur actually atones for such a person, doesn't have to bring Ashram Tali anymore. So if you're saying exceptions to Ashram Tali, why are you saying only Memetame Mikdash Kedashiv? You're supposed to say if Yom Kippur passed. So Mash Lakish, he says, no, because Kiketani, what was the Mishnah coming to say as an exception? Is hecha de isa lachatas. If the person's sin is still there, verachmana patre, and there was never an atonement for it, but the Torah exempts it. And that's the case with metame mikdash kedashim, where the sin's there, we're not sure if he did or not, but the Torah says, no, there you're not going to bring Ashram Tali. Whereas avar lav yom kippurim, less lachatas. When yom kippurim passes by a person who's not sure if he did a sin or not, there's no more sin, because the kapar lay, the reason why you don't bring after Yom Kippurim is not because Torah exempts you, is because Yom Kippur has already atoned. There's no more sin, therefore that's not included in the exception that we're mentioning in the Mishnah. Another interpretation of Yechonam, he says that no, because our Mishnah would seemingly be included even b'mevayit, even if someone rejects the halacha of Yom Kippurim, the kama where he says, no, ain Yom Kippurim mechaper, that he says, no, Yom Kippur is not going to atone for me. So that's why we couldn't say that in the Mishnah. Because such a person, the Ihadur Beibas Yom Kippurim, if he repents after Yom Kippurim, and he says, oh, I feel bad that I wanted Yom Kippur shouldn't atone for me, Boila Su Hashem Tali, then he's going to have to bring Hashem Tali. So it's not a definitive exception, because such a person who's Mavayid in Yom Kippurim, after he repents, Yom Kippur wasn't Mechap of him, then he still has his halacha of Hashem Tali, who he'd still have to bring it. Whereas Rish Lakish Tavr, no, he couldn't say like Rabbi Yechonon, because he holds Mavayid Nami Mechap of Yom Kippurim, even someone rejects the halachas of Yom Kippurim, Yom Kippur still atones for him, and therefore he couldn't say that the interpretation, therefore he said a different answer. Now, and the Gemara says, and that point regarding if Yom Kippurim would atone, if a person's rejecting it or not, is ubaplukt, is like the following machlekes that we find. If someone says, yeah, I'm bringing a karmachatas, but I don't want it to atone for me. Sabayom ein mechaper says it doesn't atone for him. Rav Amar mechaper says it does atone for him, as the Gemara explains. Qualifies as follows. If he says, I don't want it to be sacrificed, so the kuli amalei pligid lemachabez, no one's going to disagree that it's not going to atone for him, because the chesiv, the pasuk says, v'yikur Yaakov eis l'Eretz Sinai, has to be brought and sacrificed for him according to his will. If he doesn't want it, then it's not considered a hakrava, and for sure not an atonement. Ki pligi, when do they disagree? The amar tikra v'lei sechab. He says, yeah, I want it to be sacrificed, but I don't want it to atone. Abaya amalei mechaper says, it's not going to atone. The amalei sechab says, he doesn't want it to atone. Rav Amar Mechaper, he says, it will atone, even the Amar Tikrav, since he says, I want it to be sacrificed, so Kapar Memela Asi. The Hakrava is bringing the atonement, and therefore that's automatic. If you want it to be sacrificed, even if you're saying you don't want it to be atoned, that's automatic, and therefore he holds it will be an atonement. So we see this Machalik is regarding if someone says he doesn't want it to atone, will it atone or not, just like we're saying in Kippur, so to be Kar Mechatas. However, the Gemara says, but Vahadabe Rav. Rav, who said that it's going to atone, even if he says he doesn't want it to, actually retracted. How do we know this? Because Kitanya, we learned this, that it's halacha of a b'raisa, and Rabbah, who explains the b'raisa, obviously agrees to that, to the concept. The b'raisa says as follows. Actually, comparing the two halachas that we just mentioned regarding Yom Kippur atoning, even if you don't want it to, and a karbachatas. The b'raisa says, Yachal Yehi Yom Kippur mechaper. You would think that the Day of Atonement, the 10th of Tishrei, Yom Kippur would atone, al shavim v'al she'en shavim, which literally translates means to say, for those who repent and for those who don't repent. Now, but says the Braisa, Vidinu, but logic would dictate that actually it would not atone for someone who's not shav, who doesn't repent. Why? And the Gersa is either Oma or Hail since chatzitz v'ashem mechaperim, we could compare it. A sin offering, a guilt offering, they atone. The Yom Kippur mechaper, and Yom Kippur also atones. So we make the following comparison. Ma chatzitz v'ashem ein mechapin el al hashavin, just like the guilt offering and the sin offering only atone for someone who repents, because we need it to be l'ritzaynoi, has to be for something that he wants, like we brought in the previous pasuk, which means that he obviously wants the atonement, he's repenting. So to Yom Kippurim, we would say it only atones for those who repent. Whereas, but the Rashi says, not necessarily could you learn out the halacha of Yom Kippurim from Chatas and Ashim that it's only going to atone when you're Shav. Because if you're going to say that, yeah, it's limited by the Karma Chatas and Ashim, that it's only for the Shavin if you repent, because we find by the sin offering, because as Rashi points out, actually the guilt offering is not specific over here, because we actually do find that there are certain ashamas that are brought for even deliberate sins, as the Gemara says in the second parak later on the next daf on Chesam Abayz, that they're actually for the bringing of ashram even on a zavim, deliberate, but by a karma chatzis for sure, it doesn't atone when you do a deliberate sin, it only atones for an erroneous sin. So maybe over there, that's why it's certain limitations, so it's also going to be limited only if a person's repenting, if he's doing a lirut zayin. Whereas time Yom Kippurim, how are you going to say, and to prove it by Yom Kippurim, shemechap ala mezik ha-shagig, Yom Kippurim atones not only for erroneous, inadvertent sins, but even atones for deliberate sins. So v'hoyil mechap ala mezik ha-shagig, so maybe I would tell you that since it atones even for deliberate sins, like even inadvertent sins, mechap al shavim v'sha'in ha-shavim, maybe I would tell you that it would atone not just for those who repent, but even for those who don't repent. That's why you need to have a pasuk. Says the Braisa, it says ach, where it says ach ba'as l'chaydish, which ach is an exclusionary terminology, and the 10th of the month is referring to Yom Kippurim. Chilik, it's differentiating, it's dividing, and saying Yom Kippurim will not be atonement for everyone. It'll be for those who are shav, and not for those who are not shav. Now says the Gemara, my shavim. When the Braisa says that the atonement is only for those who repent, but it doesn't atone for those who are not shav. What's shavin and what's v'she'ein shavin? Says Gemara, ilei m'shavin. If you think shavin would mean shaygig, he did it by mistake. So he was someone that was always repentant because he didn't mean to do it in the first place. And loy shavin means to say he wasn't repentant because maybe he did it deliberately. If that's what you think, that's what the interpretation of the Brice is saying, that we know that chatz and asham is only by shavin and not she'ein shavin, and we're trying to see if we're learning Kippurim from that or not. But hakatani, but how can you say this? Because the words of the Brice are when it says that, oh, maybe we'll learn out Yom Kippur from Chatzis and Asham, which is only for Shav and not for Ein Shavim. So on that, the Braisa says, Loi, no, you can't learn out. And you said, why not? Because Ema Marta, B'Chatzis v'Asham, if you're going to say maybe it's only B'Chatzis and Asham, because there it's the halacha is only by Shogig and not by Mezid. So if that's the case, so then what's the Braisa saying? It's what's called cyclical reasoning. It's the same thing of you're saying Shav, you're trying to say, do you learn Yom Kippur from there? Where there it's shavim and not for ein shavim. So you're saying, oh, you can't learn from there because there it's by shaygig and not by mezid, and here it is by shaygig and mezid. But you're saying shavim ein shavim is shaygig and mezid. So Ella rather says the Gemara that obviously can't be the interpretation of shavim and ein shavim. Ella ki hadu ula amar b'yechnan. Rather, what the Brayis is discussing is like the following halacha of ula neimer b'yechnan. It says the following halacha. Achal chayla v'hifresh carbon. If someone eats forbidden fats, and he designates a carbon to bring for his chattas, then after he designates the carbon, v'hemer dase, he becomes a renegade Jew, he rebels, and he throws away his faith. Then v'chazabai, then he repents. Says Rabbi Yechanan, well, hoyva netchi yitcha. Once he's rejected, it's rejected. In other words, that you can't bring that carbon chatas, and what was rejected when he became a renegade Jew for that period of time. Now, that's what the Bryce is saying, that a carbon chatas only atones on those that are shoven. What does it mean, shoven? It means that they were repentant from the time that they designated a carbon until the carbon was actually sacrificed. Meaning, excluding the case of Rabbi Yechanan, if someone was hamer das in the middle. And that's what the Braisa wants to say. Could we learn that Yom Kippur from the halacha of karma chatas? Which is, if someone went and became a renegade Jew before Yom Kippurim, and then he went and repented after Yom Kippurim, do we say that now forever Yom Kippur, that the future Yom Kippurim will not come and atone for the sins that he did before he became a renegade Jew? The same thing like we say regarding the carbon that's rejected, can't work anymore, even though now he repented and he wants to bring for that original sin. Maybe Yom Kippurim will also be the same thing. That's what the Braisa was trying to say. Do you learn out that you can't do for Ein Shavin, meaning to say that he wasn't shoved the whole time, just like it doesn't work by a karma chatas, so it's not going to work for a person that regarding Yom Kippur. So it's on this interpretation, the Gemara wonders, Well, he did itchi carbon, although we could understand Rabbi Yochanan's halacha, that by carbon we say, since it was rejected after it was already designated and separated, so it's rejected from the mizbech, and that's the halacha called dichi. But gavra, regarding a person, regarding him, kipurim bar kaparuhu, he's a person that has atonement, just like a regular Jew, how could you say he's rejected from Yom Kippurim, ever atoning for his original sin in the year when Yom Kippurim, when he didn't believe and follow in Yom Kippurim? That wouldn't be a reasonable interpretation. Ella rather says the Gemara, a different interpretation. What does Shavin mean? Shavin means the Amir Yuchapar Leichatasi. He means that he actually repented, meaning to say that he says, I want my Karmen Chatas to atone for me. And what's She'ain Shavin? That he's not repentant. Although he's bringing a carbon, but he's not repentant because the Amalei Techaper Alei Chatas. He says, "I don't want my chatas to be an atonement for me." And what do we see from the Brisa? The Brisa says the question was, "Do we learn that Yom Kippurim from there or not?" But it says by the chatas, it's not going to atone. So Shema Minah. So obviously, we infer from here that obviously Rava retracted from this Brisa because you can't say Rava never heard this Brisa, as sometimes Anamir didn't know a Brisa, because actually later on he's going to explain and resolve this Brisa. Obviously he knew of it, and obviously he retracted from his halacha, although he had this machlekes with Abaye, and he said that it's going to atone. Here you see clearly, regarding the Karma Chatas, that if someone says, I don't want it to atone for me, what we're calling Ein Shavin, that's not going to work as a Karma Chatas, it's not going to atone, and that's what the Brisa was discussing. Do we learn that Yom Kippurim from that or not? The Brisa ultimately says that we see that Yom Kippurim too, it's not going to mechaper on a person that says he doesn't want Yom Kippur to atone for him. That's like we interpret it as what means Ein Shav. But however, now that we brought this Brisa, the Gemara says Vermini. Seems to be a contradiction from this previous Brisa that we said, that Yom Kippurim is not going to atone for those who are unrepentant, who doesn't want Yom Kippurim to work for them, and it only works for those who are Shavim, from the following Brisa. Brisa says, Yochel lo yehe Yom Kippur mechaper. You would think that Yom Kippurim would only atone, Ela al shen nesan lebay, for someone who follows all the halachas Yom Kippurim. If he afflicts himself, v'loyasal b'malacha, he doesn't do any forbidden activity, v'kar mikra kodesh, he calls it a holy convocation, meaning during the Seder HaTfilah, he says in mikra kodesh, he talks about the ideas of Yom Kippurim and the davening. But let's say lo nesana, but let's say he doesn't afflict himself on the day, which all the different five inuyim, things not allowed to bathe, not allowed to smear and anoint different things, he doesn't afflict himself. V'loyasal b'malacha, he does forbidden malacha on Yom Kippurim. V'lekar mikra kodesh, doesn't call it mikra kodesh and davening. Yochel lo yehe Yom Kippur mechaper. You would think then the word in the tone. Time limit. That's the pasuk teaches Yom Kippur. Who? It's Yom Kippur. Which mikom makom. Whatever the situation is, it's Yom Kippur. It's going to atone. Now the question is: this price is saying that it will atone even if a person is rejecting halacha of Yom Kippur itself. But Tarvayu Stam Sifra, who both them are anonymous prices in the Sifra, and Kashna Dodi, and they're contradicting itself. Some of says like Kash is not difficult, and the gear says Ha. The first price is Rabbi Yehuda. Ha. The second brisa that says Yom Kippurim is going to be in all situations, even if a person is rejecting Yom Kippur itself, is Rebbe. Because the Tanakh learned the brisa. Rebbe, I mean, he says, like the second brisa. And yeah, the Stam Sefer is Rebbe Yehuda, which is the first brisa, but the second one is Rebbe. That he says, Kol Aver Shebetorah, all sins in the Torah. Bein Asa Tshuva, Ubein Lo Yasa Tshuva, whether it's repentant or even unrepentant, Yom Kippur will atone. Chutz, there's only a few exceptions. Mipurik Oil, if he throws off the yoke of the Torah, of all the mitzvahs in the Torah, or Megal upon the Torah, or if he disgraces the interpretation of the Torah, where he makes expositions of blasphemy, of things that are foolish, like Menashe, who is a wicked person, who he would say that, what does Moshe have to say, v'timno yisi pelegesh, this was an unnecessary pasuk. Umifa bris basar. And, or the third one is, if he nullifies the covenant of the flesh of the bris milah. There, Shema said, "Shuvi Yom Kippur Mechaper." If he does repentance, then Yom Kippur will atone. V'imlav Ein Yom Kippur Mechaper. But if not, Yom Kippur will not atone. But one thing you see is that he holds that even if someone rejects all the others of the halachas, then it's going to be an atonement. That's one interpretation, resolution. One's Rabbi Yehuda, one's Rabbi. Rav Amma, he says actually, and the Gir says, "Hava ha Rabbi." No, both braces could be going like Rabbi. But Umayde Rabbi Baveres Yom Kippur Gufei Dole Mechaper. But Rabbi himself agrees, although he said for all sins it doesn't make a difference even if you're unrepentant, but he says no, but if it's a sin regarding the halachas Yom Kippur itself, there it's not going to atone for the person himself. And that is, although we said in the Brisa that even if he doesn't afflict himself, then Yom Kippur will atone for him, Rashi explains, that means to say it's going to atone for all the other sins of the year. But that sin itself of not afflicting himself in Yom Kippurim, that is not going to get an atonement. And moreover, this that we said in the Braisa that ach is chilik, and it's saying that also that it's not going to atone for someone that's not shav, aren't we saying it atones for all sins? That's for the sins of Yom Kippurim itself, that for that it's not going to atone. And therefore both Braises could be like Rebbe. And the Gemara proves, Rava proves this, he says, because the ilay tamahach, because if you don't say like what I'm saying, then karas Yom Kippurim the Rebbe, so then it says in the Torah, if one doesn't keep the laws of Yom Kippurim, he gets karas. Now, kivin the b'chol shayit b'shayit mechaper, but since you're telling me that every moment of Yom Kippur atones for every Isra, even for the Isra of Yom Kippurim, how would you ever have karas for Allah's Yom Kippur itself? Obviously, says Rava, no, that's the resolution. Yes, he holds it atones even for someone that's not repentant, but for the halachas of Yom Kippur himself, that's not going to be atoned. If you're not shav, if you don't keep those halachas and you don't hold them itself, that is going to be karas. However, on this proof of Rava, the Gemara asks, "Umay kusha, what's the difficulty? Dilma da'avad avedita kulei lelia." I could tell you that, no, Yom Kippur would even atone even if one violates the halachas of Yom Kippur itself and he's not repentant. And still you could have karas. How so? It could be in a situation where you're not going to have a time, a moment to have atonement. For example, let's say he did forbidden work the whole night of Yom Kippurim, or Bahadi Amudah Shachar Mis, and right by the break of dawn he passed away, where he never had the daytime to atone for him, because Yom Kippur only atones during the daytime, like it says, Ki Bayim Hazeh is when Yechaper Aleichem. So maybe that's the situation. Says the Gemara, fine. Tenach Karis, that'll be very well for the Karis, which means to say that someone dies without children, if he has children, they die. That would be the violation of Karis of Delelia, of doing forbidden work on Yom Kippurim by nighttime, that you never had a chance for the daytime to atone. But Karis the Imam Hechim Mishkachas, but how could you have Karis during the daytime? Every second is being atoned during the daytime. Says the Gemara, my question, what's the difficulty? Dilma Bahadi da Ka'achal Nama, I could tell you that maybe that he was eating bread and Yom Kippur was forbidden. And that moment, Chanakte Umtzamiz, he choked on the piece and he died. Where he never had a moment during the daytime to atone, because that moment when he was doing the Isra is when he passed away. Or Yinami, I can tell you another situation, where he did work all the way up until right when the sun was setting, where he never had a moment to atone because he was doing work at that time. Or Yinami, or you could also say, when he was doing forbidden work on Yom Kippurim, Paski Mara, so the spade that he was doing work with broke, and then it went and knocked into Lashaka, into his thigh, and immediately he died. He didn't have a moment to atone because it was during the work that he was doing. And therefore the Gemara refutes the proof of Rava to prove that it must be that, yeah, it's both Rabbi, because he agrees by the Isra Yom Kippurim on that, the Gemara refuted the proof. Now the Mishnah said, regarding these 36 things that we said, this chorus, we said that there's a patur, there's an exemption, which that was before regarding the Ashram Tali that we mentioned, regarding Mitam Mikdash HaKadashav, Chama say, oh, there's also Megadiv, that's going to be Pata, regarding the blasphemer. So the Gemara wonders, my Afa Megadiv, what's also the blasphemer? What are they saying additionally to? We don't find anything regarding the exemption of the Halacha of Karb Mechatas, that we're saying that Megadiv is also exempt from the Karb Mechatas. Says the Gemara, Rabbanan Shamal Rabbi Kiva. It's because the rabbis had heard Rabbi Kiva of the Mishnah, who the Tana of our Mishnah is Rabbi Kiva, as the Gemara explains later on. The one who holds that a Megadiv, a blasphemer, brings a carbon, is the pin of Rabbi Kiva. Now, they heard him, as it's listed in our Mishnah, the Tani Bal Oiv, Velei Tani Yedaini. He mentioned from the 36 krisis, which if you do by mistake, you bring a karmachatas, the Oiv necromancy, but not that of Yedaini. So Amrlei, they said to him, Maishna dole maisi carbon, why are you not including Yudaini, that you say that over there you don't bring a carbon if he does it by mistake? Shum deles be maisa, because it's not an action. To bring a carbon chattis has to be something that was an active prohibition. So that's what they said. Megadav nami, that's what the nami is going on. The blasphemer also les be maisa. There's no action that made them being done over there. It's just words. And therefore, they disagreed and said that should not be included in the count of those that there's going to be a carbon chattis. Which Rashi wonders, this was discussed previously in the Gimel Mabez, according to Rabbi Yechanan, who he says the reason why Yudaini wasn't mentioned is not like Rish Lakish because there's no Maisa, but rather because they were included one negative prohibition. And according to him, what are the Rabbanan saying? Nami. There's no Nami. It's not also like Magad, like Yudaini. Yudaini wasn't not mentioned because there's no Maisa. It wasn't mentioned for a different reason. That's Rashi's difficulty with, according to Rabbi Yechanan. But it definitely is an interpretation according to the way Rish Lakish explained the opinion of Rabbi Kiva, and that's what the Rabbanan is saying, that here also they shouldn't have a karmachatzas, because there's also no action that's done with it. Tanur Linda Bryce said this is machlekes. Megadiv may be carbon, that a blasphemer, like we learned in our Mishnah, if it's done by mistake, brings a carbon. Hayil v'nema b'karis. What's the reason? Because it says that there's a penalty of karis if one does deliberately megadav. That's the Rebbe Akiva. Now, says the Braisa v'ayman, the pasuk says, which argues is v'nasa chatay, or as the Gersa is brought, it's a different pasuk of chetay yisa, which Gemara is going to explain later on what's this going on. But first the Gemara asks, v'klalahu, and what Rebbe Akiva is saying, is that a general categorical concept? Kol hecha di chesiv be'karis ma'isa karban, he's saying megadav has a karban chatas, because we see when he does it deliberately, without a warning, that he gets a punishment of karis. Wherever this karis, someone brings a karban. For Pesach Amila, which we mentioned in the Mishnah, if someone doesn't bring the karban Pesach, or doesn't do circumcision, the chesiv bu karis, the punishment of karis, for the ma'isa karban, there's no action, it's a violation of a positive commandment, there's no karban. So how is he saying that's the reason why by megadav there's going to be a karban? So the Gemara continues to say, no, what he was saying was, Hachikama, Megadav may be karban. Why does the blasphemer, if he does it by mistake, bring a karma chatas? Is hoyel is since, and the gear is, venemar by karis b'makum karban. Since it's said that the karis of Megadav is said in a place where it talks about a karban, because the karis of Megadav is mentioned in the psukim where it talks about that if someone violates idolatry by mistake, he has to bring a karban. So, that's why, that's the Rebbe Akiva, those are the words of Rebbe Akiva. Kesarva, he held Miga Debaye Michtav, Karas Ba'alma, since it should have just said Karas in general by Megadav. Yet, V'chsib Karas B'makam Karban, but it talks about the Karas of Megadav by a place where it talks about Karban. So, Shmamina, Maisa Karban, so obviously the reason why it's said over there is to tell us that, yeah, we could even say possibly that even if there's no action, but it's telling us that the reason why you have to bring a Karban is because it's said in a place, it mentions its Karas in a place where there's a Karban to tell us that if it's done by mistake, one has to bring a Karban. Now explains the Gemara. Va'imra, and this that then it says the pasuk cheto yisa, his sin he has to carry. What's Rebbe Akiva coming to say over there? So we're going to explain according to Taisus interpretation, as Argus has it, is asa l'rabbanan, mean to say, it's Rebbe Akiva's response to the rabbanan, as the Gemara is explaining right now, to say that no, to tell us that there's going to be a punishment of karis that we don't need, because that we know gzeres shava from Pesach. This is what Rebbe Akiva was saying to the Rabban. Said, Amitu Megadav les b'maisa. You were telling me, what do you mean? Kiva, Megadav. Oh, it's just like Nami. That's what I said, Nami. It's like Yidaini. There's no action with it. And just like you say, Ba, Yidaini, there's not going to be a Karma Chatas. So to Megadav shouldn't have a Karma Chatas. Said Rebbe Akiva to the Rabban as follows. Mao Megadav. What is this Megadav that we're talking about? As we're going to see that it's actually a discussion of Machlekes regarding what the interpretation is, he assumed that Rabban agreed him, is Mevarach Es Hashem, someone quote, blesses me, it's a euphemism, he curses God. Now, if that's the case, Ela karis tachsiv l'mayasa, why is it going ahead and saying over there a halacha of karis? Obviously, he's coming to say that when you do it by mistake, this is going to be a karma chatas. Which Amalei, they said to him, no, it's litni karis l'makal. The reason why it says karis is because we wouldn't know that if someone curses God, that is a punishment of karis. That's why it says karis. But we don't see anywhere there's a karma chatas. To which says Rebbe Akiva, no, tachsiv b'makal. It already says by the one who curses, v'nasa chetoi, that he carries his sin. Now, uksiv pesach sheni, v'lena gzeri shava, by pesach sheni, it says, chetoi yisa, he's going to carry his sin. Now, if it doesn't bring the karban Pesach, now Malahal and Karas, just like we know over there, it refers to Karas. Afkan Karas, so the Gezer Shav already tells us that this Karas by the Megadav, by the Mevarach Hashem, what we call the Mekal. So why does it say Karas by the Halacha of Megadav, by Mevarach Hashem? Obviously, says Rebbe Akiva, it's coming to teach that this, if someone does it by mistake, there's going to be a karban of Chatas. Now, that's one interpretation of the Gemara. Rashi has a different Gersa. He actually says that it was Rabbanan telling to Rebbe Akiva that they were saying that you're saying Megadav brings a carbon, since it says karis by a carbon, but it says the karis of Megadav by a carbon, on that they said to him, what do you think when it mentions Megadav in the Pasuk, it's referring to Mevarach Es Hashem? To say that, oh, you see that Megadav, which is Mevarach Es Hashem, is near a halach of carbon? No, Megadav in the Torah is referring to someone that's Oved by the Zara, and therefore has nothing to do, it doesn't teach us anything regarding Mekal Es Hashem, and therefore they disagree with the proof of Kiva, which actually goes right into the next Gemara, regarding that we see that this is a Machlekes regarding how to interpret what Megadav actually means when it says in the Torah. Talmud Rambam in the Braisa, the Pasuk Midbar says, Es Hashem hu Megadav, he was Megadav Hashem, he was disrespectful, he did something wrong, therefore he gets the punishment. Now, what does it mean, Megadav? So, Isi ben Yehuda, he says, like someone who says to his friend, Girafta hakara, you emptied out the plate, v'chisarta, and you made it lacking. Now, although it says, in the pasuk is Megadav, a Dalet and Resh could be interchanged, as the letters are very similar, and they also, the Ra, so the Resh and Dalet are interchanged. So Megadiv could be Megarif. What it means to say is that you cleaned off the plate from the food, and not only that you took off all the food, you also ruined the wooden plate itself. Now, that interpretation holds Ksavim Megadiv Mevarchas Hashemu. What does it mean that even the plate got ruined? It's saying that it's what you did was very bad, that it was cursing God, which is a great sin, which was even going and attacking Hashem, the primary source itself, Hashem. Now, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, I mean, he says differently in the pasuk. He says, "It's called my melchavis." Like a person tells his friend, "Kirafta akar," you emptied out the plate, but valich his heart, you didn't ruin the plate in itself. Oh, kasav megadav hayna avoy dezariah. Because he holds, what does megadav mean? It means someone who worships idolatry, like someone who sings songs to the idols, which is not such a great sin. It's not the classic of a desire, like singing songs. That's, yeah, megarif, cleaning off the plate, but you didn't ruin the plate itself. And similarly, Tanya, another brayso, so the same idea, as Hashem, this pasuk, is megadif. But Lezman Azariam says, but even if a desire, because I'm talking about when someone sings songs for idolatry, the sages say, telling you that this carves is someone who curses God. Again, though, that's what we see, megadif is megarif. The question is, how far is it, just cleaning off the plate, or even ruining the plate itself? But again, that's the discussion regarding what Megadav actually is, and that's like Rashi's interpretation regarding the Rabbanu saying that you don't have a source for the halacha that you're trying to say, because that halacha that says near carbon is actually not the carbon, is not the chorus of the Mekalas Hashem. That's regarding some of those Eved Avodah Zarah. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah in this Perek, in this Masechta, as continuing on the theme of the opening Mishnah, which discussed the halachas of carbon chatzis, which is, although we call it krisis, but we said the reason why it's in Seder Kachim is because when someone does it by mistake, it brings a karma chatzis. Now we move on to other situations that have to bring a karma chatzis, but not because of krisis, not someone that did a sin, when deliberately then there's a punishment of karas. Rather, there are other, as our mission opens up with the concept of yeledis, a woman gives birth, also has to bring a karma chatzis, but not for a sin that she did, it was just for giving birth. Says the Mishnah, Yesh Mavi is Karban Menachal. Now, even regarding Yeledis, there are some times when a woman gives birth, she has to bring a Karban and it's eaten. Yesh Mavi is Karban Vein Nechal, and sometimes it's brought but it's not eaten. And the Yesh Mavi is, and sometimes when the woman gives birth, she doesn't even bring a Karban Chatzis, as the Mishnah explains. Mavi is Karban Menachal, she brings the Karban and it's eaten. That's obviously a regular birth, but even those that are not like a classic regular birth, Hamapelis Kimin Behema Chayva Eif, if a woman miscarries after day 40, something that looks like an animal or a wild animal or like a bird, where the Gemara in Masechet Nida explains that Chavbez Mabez, since, although it doesn't look like a human, but since by animals and birds, it uses the terminology in the Torah that of Yetzirah, of forming like a person, so it has the same aloha like giving birth to a person, and therefore one would still have to bring a carbon and it's eaten, divrei mer. The Chamim, they disagree, and they say, no, Achei Heba Mitzuris Adam, it's only if it has the form of a person that then the carbon is brought and eaten. Now, continues the Mishnah, Mapela Sandal. If someone miscarries a sandal, which is a child, it's just that the form is diminished, or a shilya, or that's the amniotic sac, which the Gemara in Masechet Nida on Daf Chavav Madalf also explains that there's no amniotic sac without a child inside, or a shvir, or that's the skin of the embryo itself. If it's merukim, if it was already developed inside in the skin, the form of the limbs that are small, which the Gemara Masechet Nida explains exactly what that is, or vayitzim mechutach, or if the fetus comes out cut up in pieces, or v'chein shifcha, or a non-Jewish maidservant, shehepila, which if she miscarries, which the Gemara is going to explain why is it necessary to say, she has the same halachas like a Jewish woman, mevi'a karban v'noichel, all these cases are requirements of a yeledis, where the karban is brought and the karban is eaten. But says the Mishnah, ve'il mevi'is ve'ein nechalas, these are cases where the karban is brought but they're not eaten. Hamapelas ve'en yedeya mahipila. She miscarries, but she doesn't know exactly what she miscarried. Did it have the form of a person, and then she's obligated? Did it have the form of a fish or a grasshopper, and therefore she's exempt? So that's what Mishnah is saying, that she has to bring a carbon, meaning, which is the two turtle doves that are brought by Yeledis, which is regarding the when a person can't afford, they bring the turtle doves. One's a carbon oil, one's a carbon chatzis. And the way she does it is, since it's a situation of doubt, by the Oyla, she stipulates and she says, look, if it's obligatory because it is a regular birth, so it should be the obligation. If not, so that you could bring a donated carbon Oyla. Now, regarding the Chatas, you can't stipulate because you can't bring a donated carbon Chatas. But it's obligated out of a situation of doubt, but it can't be eaten because maybe it's not a carbon. And if it's not a carbon, by the birds in the Beis HaMikdash, they did Malika, which is only valid to be eaten as kosher for a carbon, but since we're not sure if it's a carbon, it might be like a nevela. Now, from the fact that we're doing a carbon that might not be obligated because the chatzis kemring is nadava, and that's chulin on the mizbech, that actually we're not concerned for because you're not going to be sacrificing from the chatzis if anything on the mizbech, you're just going to throw the blood. That's not considered like the mizbech's consumption, as the Gemara explains in Masechet Nazir, that a chatzis ha'if could come even in a situation of doubt. So that's what she does if she's not sure if she what she miscarried was something obligatory or not. Similarly, with shtei noshim shepilu. If two women miscarried in a cave, now achas min pater, one miscarried something that's exempt from being a halacha b'yaledis, let's say like a form of a fish or a grasshopper, but the other one miscarried something that would be obligated, like a sandal or a shilya, but we don't know who miscarried something that's exempt and who miscarried something that's obligated. So each one has to go ahead and bring these two birds, like we explained, and they're not eaten because they're situations of doubt. But each one is the doubtful one, because we don't know who miscarried which one. Now, however, Amar B'Yisi, he qualifies this halacha and says, no, Amos, when is it that we're saying that it's not going to be eaten in this last case that we just described? He says that that's only bizman shaholchu, zele mizuch, zele mayav, if when these two women, we said that it's not going to be eaten because they can't make a stipulation because they brought their birds to the kohen and they went on their way, this one to the east, this one to the west, and they're not together to make a pact. So then, yeah, each one's a situation of doubt, so you have to bring it, but it can't be eaten. The oil is never eaten, but we're talking about for the chatas. But since both of them are standing over there, these two women who we're not sure which one's the one that's chayv, which one's the potter, so they're both in a situation of doubt, says what they do is shtein mevias carbon menaychel. They both bring the carbon, and then it actually could be eaten, as the Gemara explained exactly how that's done. But because they bring it together, and then either way you can look at it, it's going to be a valid carbon to be eaten. Now, the third category, says the Mishnah, elu shein mevias, then you have certain times when a woman miscarries that they don't bring a carbon at all, is hamapelas shefir moli mayim. She miscarries an embryo that's filled with water. Moli dama is just filled with blood, or moli ganinma is just filled with different colors, where it doesn't have the limbs, doesn't have anything developed. Or hamapelas kemin dogim mechagavim, she miscarries something that looks like fish, or grasshoppers, or shkatsim, or mussim, or like vermin, or these creepy crawly creatures. Or hamapelas yemabom, or if she miscarries a fetus within 40 days of conception, as the Gemara in the Pesachtas Nidav Laman Alpha explains that only 40 days after 40 days of conception is it considered a valid fetus, but before that's just considered like water. Or v'yetzidayf, a child, full-fledged child, born through cesarean, through the abdominal wall, that's not considered something that would be considered a yeledis to be chayev, a karma chatas. But Rav Shimon Mechayev, v'yetzidayf, and he disagrees, he holds that even a child born through cesarean is obligated in the karma chatas. Now the Gemara asks, as we alluded to, first of all, how do we know that a maidservant who's not a regular Jewish woman, that she's obligated in a carbon chatzis as a yeledis? Says the Gemara, the Tanbanan, because learn the Brayis, suppose it says in the Yikra, that it says, Dabar el b'nei Yisrael, speak to the Jewish people, that there's going to be this obligation. Now, so ain't le'el b'nei Yisrael, I would only know the Jewish people. How do we know a woman who converted to Judaism or who is a maidservant, how do we know that she's also obligated? Because it says b'nei Yisrael. Tamalema Isha says in the Pasuk, a woman, Kisazri, if she's going to conceive and have a child, so she has all these halachas, so Isha comes to include all women that are Jewish, even if she's a maidservant or if she's a geirus. But the Gemara wonders, this is the question we alluded to in the Mishnah, Mai v'chein shifcha, why does it have to tell us, and also a maidservant? Obviously, any mitzvah that a woman is obligated in, a slave, the male or female, are obligated. Because the Torah learns out, Exer Shav Allah, Allah. It says by a woman, because of law, save a creature. It says by Shivcha, Eichuchuv Shalai Nita Allah. It says law by both. To say that the maidservant, the slave, have the same halacha as the Jewish women. So if a Jewish woman is obligated, obviously we know Shivcha. Why did the Mishnah have to tell us that? It says, Yimar Nosaka, that the Chemin Yehuda thought to say, Kiyamrin, when do, and therefore we have to include it with Isha, is Kiyamrin, when do we say, Kol mitzvah Shaisha Chayevesba, Evet Chayeba? When do we say this concept? You would have thought to say that whatever mitzvah a woman is obligated, so then the slaves, male, female, are obligated in. Hanamila would dovish a shove bein nisha bein nisha. That's only a mitzvah that's equal amongst women and men. And that's why we find that an eved is also obligated in those mitzvahs of a woman. Aviyel led this, but regarding giving birth, to benoshim isabah noshim lesser, that's only for women and not for men. I would say that maybe the maidservant would not be obligated. That's the Mishnah to tell us that the maidservant is obligated. How do we know that? Although it says B'nai Yisrael, that we learn out from the extra word Isha. Now the Mishnah said, continue on later on, says, Elam Avin carbon, says, these are situations that they'll bring a carbon, but it's not going to be eaten. And one of the cases was when you have two women in a cave, and one gave birth to something that is obligated, one gave birth to something that's not, but now we don't know which is which, so they're both suffering. So they both bring the two turtle doves, and they're not eaten. But Rabbi Yisi said, Chula, etc. He said that he could. He said no. If they're both there at the same time, they could bring it and it's eaten. Says Gemara, my abdin. According to Rabbi Yisi, what is it that they do that it's eaten? Isn't it a situation of doubt? Says the Gemara, Maisin tar vayu chad carbon vavi. They both bring, meaning they each bring their own definitive carbon, that of the Ayla, that turtle dove they bring on their own. V'chatas oif safik. And additionally, they bring, between the two of them, they both buy one chatas oif. Because the Ayla sa'if, that we said, each one could bring their own. And like we said, you can make a stipulation, there's no problems that you run into. If you're not obligated, it's going to be in the dava. But the chatas oif, that we said, that can't be in the dava, because the chatas can't be donated. So therefore, what Rabbi Yisi is saying is, if they're both around, they buy together a chatas ha'if, umasni, and they stipulate. And each one says, if I'm obligated, so then your part of that you paid into that chatas ha'if will be forgiven to me. And if you're the one that's obligated, so my portion is forgiven to you, because I don't have to bring it. I didn't miscarry one that was chayiv. And either way it's going to be then, the malik is going to be valid, because it's being done for, because based on the stipulation, whoever's the one that had the chayav one, and therefore it's such a piece, it could be eaten. But that's obviously only if they're around, then they buy it together, and they make that stipulation. But on this concept, the Gemara asks, does Rabbi Yisi really hold to this concept as we're explaining that of making a stipulation, therefore that allows us to jointly buy a carbon together? But what's not, we'll learn in the Mishnah later on, the Chof Gimel Manalf and Paragdam Shchita, that says as follows, Rabbi Shimon, he says, and they're talking about a case where a similar idea, we have two people, and there's two pieces of fat. One chalev and one shuman, permitted fats. And each one ate one. We don't know who ate which one. Now, we're not sure if either one, who's chayav a karban chatas. So, says Rabbi Shimon, what you do is mevi'ish name chatas achas. The two of them buy together karban chatas. And they make the same idea, the stipulation, whichever one it is, it'll be his karban chatas. Rabbi Yisam, he disagrees, says, no, ain't shnei mevi'ish chatas achas. No, two people can't bring together one karban chatas. So, amal Rabbi Yisi, less late enough. We see he does not hold the stipulation. How we explained halacha in our Mishnah. So, amal Ravi says, no, it's different. Maidra Rabbi Yisi agrees in the halacha of our Mishnah regarding the four types of people that are called b'mechusa kapara, that they're lacking atonement. Meaning, like we explained, when they bring their carbon chatas, it's not because of any sin, it's just to permit them to partake from kaddishim. The woman's lacking atonement, it's regarding her purity. And there he holds that you could do stipulation. V'chenki asa Rav and Rabbi Yechon Soto and Rav and Ken, he said in the name of Rabbi Yechon, that Maidra Rabbi Yisi b'mechusa kapara. Rabbi Yisi agrees you could stipulate by someone who's lacking of atonement. So I was thinking about my temple. What's the reason? Why is it different? So the Gemara explains. Hasim over there by that Mishnah later on, by Chatas Chelev, which means, say, when you bring a Chatas because of a sin of like eating forbidden fats, and Perek Tam Shechita. There, by Gavri Yediyah, the person has to have a definitive realization. He has to know that he sinned, because if not, then you can't bring a Karma Chatas. And to the contrary, since we don't know who's the one, yeah, one of them did, each one has to bring Ashram Tali, and you can't buy, says Rabbi Yisi, a joint Chatas together. Why? Because the chesed of the pasuk of Yikra, oyhoida lov chatas, or becomes a word to him his sin, and only then can you bring it. So you can't buy it together because you don't know if you sinned or not. Hilchach lemasni nemasni. Therefore, they cannot bring it together, says Rabbi Yisi, and stipulate. Aval halacha over here in the halacha of our Mishnah, ki masni noshen carbon. When these two women who were in the cave, who don't know what they miscarried, when they bring a carbon, lishtarui bechilas kachim. That's just to permit them to eat from kachim. Kedatani sefer dahi, and actually this answer that we're giving is exactly actually like it's obvious from the end of that Mishnah later on Perek Tam Shechita, because the words are Rabbi Yisim, he says, no kol chata shibal chat, any karban chatas that's coming for a sin, ein shtayim aviyah, says no, two people cannot bring it together. Obviously, you see that the concept is because when it comes for a sin, and that was the precise wording, there has to be awareness. But here, where it has nothing to do with that, yeah, Rabbi Yisim would agree that you can stipulate, and the women can bring it together. Now the Mishnah continues says that elu she'ein mevi'is v'chulu. Then there are situations that you don't bring a karma chatas at all for having given birth. And the last one was yetzer deifen. The child was born through cesarean. That Reb Shimon Mechayev, he disagreed. He says no, it is obligated by yetzer deifen a karma of a yeledus of a karma chatas. Says like, well, my time the Reb Shimon was reading Reb Shimon. So Amar Shlakish says because Amar Kar the pasuk says of a yikra, it says v'im the keva seilid, and if the woman's going to give birth to a girl, now it should have just written v'im the keva he, if she's a girl, because they're already talking about giving birth. Why say teilid? L'rabis leidacheres, to include a different birth. Mahi, what is that? It's yetzer deifen, even a birth through cesarean, not through the birth canal. Now Rabbanu my time, what's the reason that they disagree? So Amar Mani Bar Patish says because the pasuk says ishaki sazri v'yolda, a woman is going to conceive and give birth. So those two words, Tazri and Yalda, is Acha Teli B'mokam Shemazres. It's only when she gives birth from a place where she conceived, which is vaginal, but if it comes through the abdominal wall, then that's not going to be halacha of Yaledis, of being obligated in the carbon of the Chatzis. Now, the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing on the theme of the previous Mishnah regarding a yeledes, a woman giving birth, and regarding the obligations of her carbon. Says the Mishnah the following case: Hamapelis la'er shmoinim ve'echad. If a woman miscarries on the night of the 81st day, which this halacha regarding there's a difference in the Torah, it talks about if a woman gives birth to a boy or to a girl, a boy has 7 days of Tumah, and then it has another 33 days after that of Tahara for a total of 40 days. By a girl, it's 14 days of Tumah, and then 66 days of Tahara, which means any dam that she sees during that time period is actually, although generally we say it's Tumah, it's not going to be Tumah, it's going to be Tahara, it's called Dam Tahara. So that's the case we're describing regarding a woman that gave birth to a girl. So up until day 80, after the 14 days of Tumah, she's good to go, that she's within that time period where we don't consider any blood as Tumah. Now, the halacha is regarding, it has applications that our mission is going to discuss, regarding, because we say it's still the culmination of the original birth, and therefore the blood we're not considering as Tumah, that has ramifications regarding the laws of Tumah, and also regarding the laws of the carbon. So that goes up until day 80. Day 81 is when she's over. Then she goes and she's like a tful yom aruch for that whole time period. After that is when she's over. Then if she sees blood, she'll become tamei. And that's also when she brings her carbon that she could go ahead and be totally purified to partake of kachem, what's called mechusar kapar. Now, our mission is discussing a case when she miscarries after giving birth to a girl on the night after the 80th day, that next night, the night of the 81st day. Which, that's the case that the mission is discussing, where the next day, the next morning, it's already that day halachically, which starts at night, but the next morning, when you could bring karbanos, is when she would bring her atonement for that previous birth of the girl, that night before she miscarries another fetus. So, b'shamei poitrim that karban. B'shamei say, she's exempt from bringing another karban for this second birth. Because although, and this is the chiddush, although this is after what's called malais. Malais is referring to pasuk in Yikra Yud Beis, pasuk vav, that says this concept that we're talking about, and uva malaisi made tahara, and when it's completed the days of purity, whether it be a boy or a girl, and you finish those 33 days, which makes it for day 40, or the 66 days making up to day 80, then she brings her karbanis, which is after that. So although it's after the malais, it's after day 80, it's already day 81 halachically, when the nighttime starts, you finish the days of tahara. But since it's nighttime, say Beishamein, as our mission is going to explain, it wasn't a time ever that she could have brought a carbon, because nighttime, you can't bring a carbon, like the pasuk says, "B'yom tzavais," in the day that's commanded, and then you can bring a carbon. So if regarding carbon, it's like you're still b'malais, like you're still in that period of you didn't finish yet the time of bringing your original carbon. You can't be obligated another carbon for another birth. And therefore, say Beishamein, she'll be exempt from bringing another carbon. But Obeisil Machayim, they say, no, you already finished day 80, you're already in the 81st day, you're obligated another carbon for this second birth miscarriage, which is the fetus was already more than 40 days old. Now, Amr Beisil Beishamei, so Beisil said to Beishamei to disagree with them and said, wait, Maishna or Shmoinu Ve'echad, Miyom Shmoinu Ve'echad, why is it any different, the night of the 81st day and the day of the 81st day? Because the day of the 81st day, you most definitely agree, as the Gemara says later on the Testament Aleph, that everyone agrees if someone miscarries then, that then there's an obligation of another carbon, so why is the night any different? More of a say Beisil, im shiva loy l'tumma, if they're the same regarding tumma, because say Beisil to Beishamei, you must definitely agree to me that once the sun sets after day 80, after the birth of the girl that she had, the days of tahara are over. If she sees tumma now in the 81st night, she's going to be tumma. And that's the same, which starts already on the night of the 81st day. So the yishvah of the carbon, so shouldn't it be the same that it's over those days? So it's just like for tahara, the old birth is over. So to the carbon, the old birth is over, and she should obligate a new carbon. To which Amalim B'Sham, B'Sham may say to B'Sil, Loi, no. First, they address the first point. Im Amartim B'Mapelis Yim Shmoyin B'Echad, if you say regarding if a woman miscarries on the 81st day, yeah, there's going to be obligation of a new carbon. Shekin Yatzel L'Shash Yirui L'Hevi B'Carbon, because you already had that you were able to bring your first carbon, even if you didn't, but that was already obligated. Now, a new miscarriage happened an hour into the 81st day. Oh, that's a new obligation. But regarding a case of miscarrying on the night of the 81st day, which was before that day, that you never, there was never an opportune time to ever bring a carbon. That's like that it's still teich malais regarding the halachas of a carbon. However, Amalin Beisil, but Beisil says, wait a second, I'll disprove that logic. But let's say a woman miscarries on the 81st day after she gave birth to a girl. Shchalis b'Shabbos, and the 81st day, not the night, the day, is on Shabbos. Techir, that will disprove your logic. Shloyatz l'shoshi ru lehevi b'karbon, that was never a time that she had an opportunity to bring a carbon, because you can't bring a non-carbon tzibur on Shabbos. And yet, v'chayev es carbon, you would agree that since already the 81st day, she would be obligated to new carbon. So that disproves your logic. It has to be time that she could bring a carbon. So on that, Amlam b'sham b'sham, I said to myself, loy, no. The case you're bringing me regarding if the 81st day falls on the Shabbos, although she can't bring her own individual carbon technically on that day, but roll of carbon tzibur is a time that carbon can be brought, specifically a public carbon, like a carbon talmud, and most of them all brought on Shabbos. But regarding the case we're disagreeing about, when she miscarries on the 81st day, it's not a time that any carbons can be brought, says Bishamah, that that's not considered yet a time of that the carbon was able to be brought, and therefore it's still like Taychi Malays, and therefore it wouldn't be an obligation of a new carbon for this new miscarriage. That's regarding the first point. Additionally, say Bishamah, regarding the second point, the Hadamim, regarding the bloods that you want to say, wait a second, isn't the 81st day like the 81st night? Just like you see that the blood of the 81st night is going to make her tumah, because the days of Tara are over, so too for carbon, that's going to be the days are over. Says Bishamah, no, ena mechichin, that doesn't prove anything regarding the laws of carbon that we're disagreeing about. Because Shamapelis b'teich malais, say Bishamah, because if a woman carries even within those 80 days, demer tameim, her blood would be tummy because of giving birth. This that we say the blood's not tummy is like a regular laws of menstruation, of regular bloods that come out of a woman. But say Bishamah, regarding birth blood, that she would be tummy. And yet still, upatrumina carbon. There, she would be exempt from a carbon. She wouldn't be chayv in the second carbon, because that's within the days of malays. And therefore, say Bishamah, obviously we say that these are two different dinim, and therefore that's going to be the same thing for the night of the 81st day. Yeah, although there's going to be a tumah of, if she would miscarry, any blood would be a problem, but that doesn't prove anything regarding the obligation of a carbon. And therefore, say Bishamah, like their opinion is, she miscarried on the night of the 81st day, Bishamah hold that it's not going to be an obligation of a new carbon for the woman who had given birth on the 81st day beforehand.